Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 89, Episode 3 of Dirt Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News.
Fuck off.
It's Wednesday, July 3rd, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Pour Some Jack O'Brien from Hannah Soltis and Def Leppard. And I'm thrilled to be joined by today's co-host. I still have the copy from when you weren't here. I'm thrilled to be joined,
still
as
offensive.
Always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Yes, it is Miles Gray. Thank you already to at Andy Rack for these anagrams I'm about to hit you with. I'm very jealous of Caitlin Durante's name and all the just amazing ways her name becomes many other words. So is Miles Gray, a.k.a. Mary Giles, a.k.a. I'm Liar Gas, a.k.a. Say Rim Jail, Gel, a.k.a. I, Sly Gamer, Slimy Rag, and Misery Gal.
Misery Gal.
Misery Gal is my carnival cosplay I do.
Ooh.
Where I'm like a emo, like a goth sort of Trinidadian dancer, Trini dancer. Man. Misery Gal.
Anagrams. So much fun. What's the anagram in the Da Vinci Code, which is like intellectual like puzzles for dumb people, where it's like it ends up being Leonardo da Vinci, but it's like I don't know. But it's like real obvious.
I felt like that was the book, all my friends' dads were like, man, the Da Vinci Code, man.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Fucking Dan Brown.
My dad like was like, you gotta read
And then
this
what
guy.
Was the other one, like Angels and Demons or something?
Yeah, Angels in the Outfield, I believe.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of the great guests of the Daily Zeitgeist.
Mm-hmm.
He is the hilarious and talented Mr. Chris Crofton.
Hey, what's up?
Hey!
How are you guys doing? I didn't know if I was supposed to talk about the Da Vinci Code because I hadn't been introduced.
Yeah, well, now you can.
But I'm one of those old dudes who read the Da Vinci Code.
And?
And was like, well, I was like, this is exciting.
Yeah? You were feeling it? Yeah.
Well, I mean, for
I don't
a minute.
It doesn't seem like it's a not exciting book.
Yeah. Any kind of mystery, I like.
I was in my 20s.
Even if it's not true, I like it.
I was in my 20s, even if it's not true.
I mean,
true.
Even if it's supposed to be true and it's kind of disproven, I still stay on board and pretend it's true.
No, of course.
I think that's called
fiction.
It must have been sort of true.
Yeah.
There's obviously truth to it, or else no one would be writing about it.
Holy Blood, Holy Grail. Do you know that book?
No.
Okay, Holy Blood, Holy Grail is a book that is about like some monk that found secret papers in a pillar in an old like Templar monastery and stuff, and it's like they wrote a whole book and it's really convincing, and then it just turns out the whole thing's a fraud.
Oh,
but
really?
I refuse to concede that it's a fraud.
Thank
even
God.
Though the people who made it said it's a fraud.
And
but I'm still like, I think they're saying it's a fraud because it's too real. And
right.
they're trying to keep it still on the double down low.
So you're pointing to your temple when you say that. You're like,
I do.
See your game.
You saw
I'll play your game.
I mean, there's some very interesting ideas built into the Da Vinci Code that are true, like that society was constructed for men to control women somewhat, and like the current iteration of society, Western society, and the one instituted by the Catholic Church. Like, those are very interesting thoughts on history. I just don't know.
I don't even know what the Da Vinci Code really is. I think it's what is it? Somebody in the
I think
in
it was
the
just
Last
a word
Supper.
Screen.
Somebody
I think
was
up,
bald.
Up, down, down, left, right, left, right, A, B, start, select, or something like that.
It's like the bald guy. There was some guy at the Last Supper that was bald, and that meant he was. That's a code or something. Like, there's like a guy in the painting that's got like a cell phone
right.
or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's like tweeting about it.
Yeah,
he's like, I know how to use the codex already.
Yeah, something like the Beatles with Paul was barefoot and that means he's dead kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Remember on the Abbey Road cover where they were like, Paul's barefoot and that means
he's dead,
which seems like a leap.
Been dead.
Yeah.
How's your cold brew?
It's cooking. I didn't drink cold brew all morning.
I know, you said I'm saving it for the show.
Because I saved it for the show and I had the most miserable ride over here. I thought like, I had the darkest thoughts. Like
yeah.
I was like on the way over here like, life isn't worth living. And then I had some cold brew and now I feel...
Like,
fuck, worth living.
You're
I want
like,
to find out
a thousand piece puzzle.
I want to find out about the Da Vinci Code.
Let's solve history.
Yeah, I want to decode.
You know what? Fuck it, man. You guys want to go to Italy right now?
I want to decode all the codes.
How quickly can you have your bags packed for Rome?
I just love that the book is like all this information that is like historically relevant and you know interesting theories on history is like hidden within all these like Sudoku like puzzles.
right.
It's like all right.
If you're not good at puzzles, forget about it.
And now you must solve the New York Times crossword puzzle to get this next clue. Anyways, Chris, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about, such as we are going to take a brief tour. So Chris is a double threat, a musician, comedian, performer, so maybe a triple threat. But we're going to take a tour of a brilliant release from the triple threat, Jeremy Renner.
Mm-hmm.
He is an actor. He is a house flipper. And he is, we are now learning, a musician. And he teased us all, had us all begging for it with his release on Twitter of himself in the studio scatting.
No.
Not scatting.
Putting down a vocal track to
yes.
be reckoned with.
It sounded a little bit like Scatton. It was influenced by Scatton.
Mm,
anyways, we're going to listen to that song, and I want to get your thoughts, Chris.
I can't wait.
We are going to talk about
Who's Jeremy Renner?
Just kidding.
Who knows?
I don't even know.
Yeah, he is. He was the guy in Solo. He played Solo in the new Han Solo movie.
Yep.
Nailed it. that could be true. Nobody saw that. We're going to talk about...
I saw it. I thought it was all right.
Yeah, I've heard it's all right.
Yeah, it doesn't
it's
matter.
Not as bad as the mm-hmm. sort of... It's like Waterworld. Waterworld got this reputation for being this like horrible movie because it didn't make its money.
Oh, it's amazing.
Waterworld's great.
Jeremy Renner's also in that.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's the little kid.
He's the
with
main
the
dude. Oh, he's the little he's the guy. Main,
yeah.
Oh, I thought he's the main dude.
He's in that. He was in Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Batman and Robin.
He's my favorite Batman.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about where the Democratic candidates stand entering the 4th of July holiday, I guess. After the debates, we are going to talk about where the Democratic candidates stand with regards to how much money they raised last quarter. And then we're going to talk about Border Patrol. And specifically, you know, Fox trying to defend them. They're like, people are coming for the Border Patrol.
Yeah.
You need to shut up. Leave these guys alone. Think about the guys with the guns. Why don't you?
Fox News loves people in outfits, like uniforms. Doesn't matter what kind they are.
That's true. Except for football players.
That guy is a uniform. Stop yelling at him.
Right. We're going to talk about the LA Times spicy snack power ranking list.
Mm.
And by the way, we need to mention, you do need to refrigerate your eggs. We talked yesterday about how other countries don't refrigerate their eggs. That's because the FDA in these United States of America makes farmers wash off an extra additional layer of the egg. That layer is like a protective layer that keeps the bacteria from getting into the egg. And so in the United States, because our eggs don't have that layer, they need to be refrigerated. In other countries, they leave that layer of filth on, and it protects the eggs from getting bacteria. Chris, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Well, I feel like I've already used all the good, really good ones, because mostly I do search for just metal detecting videos and magnet fishing videos and mudlarking videos. But I do also like to look up anything about Bigfoot. And once again, like, I don't really care if it's 100% true. I like to
I don't care
sort
if
of,
it's 100% true.
Bigfoot.
Construction of that sentence. You know, I don't care if it's 100% true.
Well,
what I'm hearing
the thing.
About Bigfoot.
Now, I think, okay, now, you guys have actually heard me talk about this in private, because this is something I talk about a lot, which is this thing that I've found out that, like, just doing my usual, just seeing if there's anything new on the Bigfoot news front, like on YouTube, which is best probably for Bigfoot news, I find.
Yeah.
It turns out that when Mount St. Helens erupted in 1980, like already, it's, I've lost your whole
no,
audience.
No, no, I'm
like,
fucking
what?
Into
1980?
This.
Do you remember Mount St. Helens when it blew up?
It's like the biggest volcanic eruption in the contiguous United States, I
believe. So apparently, so I'm like watching this thing, and like Mount St. Helens Bigfoot bodies was like the thing on YouTube.
Whoa.
And I was like, what? What? That sounds good. So I
looked it up. I don't care if this is 100% true.
So anyway, maybe there was only one Bigfoot body.
It was one.
It's one of those documentaries made by some nut, you know, like,
of
who
course.
Like just like, but once again, like, I'm like, it's made by a nut. Surprise, it's a big Bigfoot right. documentary. But anyway, I think Bigfoot's real, but anyway, it's a separate thing. Anyway, this guy made a little documentary and says, okay, when Mount St. Helens erupted, the Army Corps of Engineers did what they always do, which is they went up and they collected all the animal bodies because they didn't want disease to spread.
Okay.
So they went up there with a helicopter and I guess like a bag or whatever, and they filled it up with all the animals that were dead on Mount St. Helens.
Just one bag.
Yeah, I was already like, when I heard that, I was like, kind of like, I was already like, well, that's kind of, I didn't know they did that.
Just
I was like, the first thing I thought was,
bag.
I didn't know that they did that. After every disaster, they collect all the dead animals. I had no idea that happened.
Yeah.
So I was like, that did kind of make me think, huh, that's weird. I didn't know they do that. They do that. Okay. So anyway, this is when it got also, I got a little more skeptical when they said they put all the animals in separate stacks at the bottom of the mountain.
Uh-huh.
So, like, there was a stack of, like, elk and, like, I mean, I just,
right.
like, why?
So
why
they can be properly buried.
Examined or whatever?
Yeah, identified by family members.
Yeah, so it was, like, a stack of elk, I guess, and a stack of, like, deer, and then a stack of, like, raccoons or whatever.
Right.
And then they have one stack under a tarp.
Mm-hmm.
This is all relayed as true. This is not a joke. After the Army Corps of Engineers gets all the animals like they do and put them on an ark, just kidding, but that's what it sounds like they're doing.
Right.
Underneath the tarp, one of the somebody's uncle, who was in the Army Corps of Engineers, talked to this documentary filmmaker and told him that he went and looked under the tarp, and that was a pile of Bigfoots.
Wow!
And I'm gonna assume that was the shortest pile.
Right.
You know what I mean? There probably wasn't that. I mean, I'm sure
when they're dead, they're just laying down, and there aren't that many of them.
That's what I'm thinking. Mm.
Right.
Apparently, there was a tremendous Bigfoot population on Mount St. Helens.
Northwest.
And so they were very negatively impacted by this explosion.
You should do a benefit concert.
Is plural
for all the Bigfoots impacted by Mount St. Helens.
Well, I mean, so this gets further. So then somebody else's uncle, it's always somebody's uncle,
also looked under the tarp.
No, he was working, not only under the tarp was there a bunch of Bigfoots, but then there was a medical tent where Bigfoots were being, or Big Feet, and the jury's still out on
ask,
that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And no one knows. That's another mystery.
That's the key mystery.
And I don't care if that's 100%
only a Bigfoot
true.
Knows, and you can never get him to say. So do you guys go by Bigfoots or feet? You know, you can't. Yeah, but
need medical care.
This guy who worked for the Army Corps of Engineers, his uncle or whatever, said that he stood by this medical tent and he thought that just these tall guys in big overcoats were going into the medical tent and getting bandaged up. But then he noticed one of them had like a huge amount of hair on his wrist or something. And he was like, oh my God, these are Bigfoots they're treating that didn't die in the thing. Then this other guy, another person's uncle, or stepdad or somebody who worked for the Forest Service or whatever it was. See, these are all checked. These are all checked out. Whatever.
It's,
uncles
it's
and stepdads. These
network.
Are all official
the
titles.
The Uncle Whisper Network is very reliable.
These are all official titles. Stepdads
Why are they
and uncles.
Mentioning that they're somebody's uncle?
I don't know. Just because, just to prove that it's not some random guy.
Yeah.
So this is somebody's uncle.
It's just
this
some
is
random
guy who's tied into
uncle.
A family. This is a legit person. This guy knows people. He's got You know,
he's got
nephews.
Siblings that fuck.
He's got nephews.
I mean, this guy's real.
Yeah. So anyway, he said that there. This is where I doubt this is true, but I don't know that there was an Army Corps of Engineers guy who was talking Bigfoot to a Bigfoot, and that the idea is the government knows about Bigfoots. They talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they talk to them about.
Right.
Because
good tips on child rearing.
But if they can talk to him, why didn't they tell him ahead of time to clear out of the mountain? If there's going to, I mean, everybody knew that mountain was going to blow up.
Well, that's because, you know,
I don't know.
Think
anyway.
Of what color the big feet are.
Right.
If they were white, they maybe would have got the message because they're brown.
So
they're
you think like, Yeti are treated better?
Yes,
than
Yetis are treated. Yes. Yeah. We all know about Yetis and all Yeti Lives Matter and their whole fucking groups right. they got for that shit. But big feet, they're misrepresented. You know what I mean? And
but whenever I mention this story to people, they always are like, first of all, what are you talking about? The Army Corps of Engineers collects all the animals
right.
after disasters. And that's when it's everybody else, for them, it falls apart. I'm
right.
easy to just, I'm easy, I'll skip right over that.
And then the next thing is like,
I'm like, yeah, maybe they don't do that, but maybe they do. I don't know. I don't work for, I don't have an uncle in the Army Corps of Engineers.
They're right. like, sure, sir. Again, this is a Wendy's, so what is your order?
Does the Army Corps of Engineer go out into the woods when, like, on an ordinary day and collect any animals that happen to die, just in case? This
I mean,
disease?
I'm only like agreeing with this because I saw Chernobyl and I know that the dudes are shooting animals, and I'm like, yeah,
well, right,
maybe
that
checks out.
But that was because they wander from.
Sure,
the,
but again, you know,
maybe they were worried about like zombie animals. Anyways,
just
Chris.
Go ahead. I'm just gonna say, like, a tie-in for this is that just got me going into deeper stuff that I didn't know about. Like in 1924, a group of gold prospectors were attacked by Bigfoots with boulders.
Holy shit.
And the canyon that happened in is called Ape Canyon now, for real.
For real?
That's on the map, so.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So.
And look, and I don't care if it's 100% true.
So anyway, I think it's fun. I don't know if it's true, but, you know,
yeah. I've heard that story before about the tarp, and I don't know.
It feels like to me they would probably do something more elaborate
than
a
tarp.
Yeah,
right.
I do feel like that's probably.
Yeah, why not just drag them elsewhere?
Like, could they put the tarps? How securely did they put them on there?
Right.
Why were they letting people?
And if it's that secure, they're like, all right.
Why
look,
were they letting people peek,
dude? If you need medical care, go to the tent, but put a hat on
oh
and try
gosh.
And play it low key, dude.
What did they think?
Oh my God, guys, just like there. Hold on, God. Man, this dude's wrist all hairy.
Apparently, there must have been a basketball team in overcoats up on the mountain. Oh wait a minute, they're extremely hairy. Oh my God!
I like that they. Yeah, it's like
that's not a basketball team. That's Bigfoots and overcoats or big feet.
Total cartoon logic.
Yeah,
overcoats.
Uh-huh. But it wasn't until the wrist hair
right.
blew the whole plan.
Wait
up.
A second, sir. Do you have the time? And then he pulls back his.
Wait a minute.
Great day, isn't it?
You don't even have. You don't even have a watch. Wait a minute.
No, I have to get back to my kids. You know. God damn, these bills are adding up.
The Army Corps of Engineers guy asks him in Bigfoot what time it is.
And as usual, this first act has gone off the rails.
Okay,
Chris
I'm sorry.
Crofton, what is something you think is overrated?
I think overrated is being in a bad mood.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Yeah, people too often say that's a good thing.
Well, I think that this is the... Here's the thing, because UFOs basically recently... UFOs have recently been pretty much like announced to be real.
Right,
and
by
since
the Air Force.
Nobody can be mad about it, they just skipped over it and went straight to Betsy Ross Nikes. Like,
right.
I mean, like, we should be excited.
Oh, yeah. I for one, want to meet our alien overlords.
Yeah.
But there's nothing to... It's much... I'm just saying, like, you know, like, you can be psyched about... aliens being real, because that makes everything feel like, then that's, I don't know, that's hopeful. Like, maybe there's more to this life than just
your shit doesn't matter.
Than just getting upset.
Right.
And so I just was thinking like about that. I was thinking about UFOs being real would be normally a great thing, but nobody knows how to yell about it. So they just are like, oh, well, that sucks. Who cares?
Well, I guess the thing is like no one wants to acknowledge how inconsequential their own life might be.
Right. But
it's like, well, if that's true, then maybe it is a gigantic expanding universe where I'm nothing but a piece of fucking bacteria.
Right.
Right.
On a rock. But right. But I want to get mad at the manager of Chipotle right now.
Exactly. And I think there's no way to tweet effectively about aliens being real in any kind of snappy way.
Well, I think do it with a thread along with your findings on Bigfoot. And I'm sure people will catch on. Serious.
Or maybe I should just say underrated is aliens being real is underrated.
Okay. Yeah. Mm. You covered over and under in a short amount of time. That's crazy. Yeah, there's that apocryphal story about how when the conquistadors came ashore, like during the Mayan civilization, like the Mayans couldn't see them at first because their brain couldn't like functionally process like the shape of the ships and it's definitely like an apocryphal racist thing,
right,
where it's like the brown people couldn't even conceive of something this advanced. But I do think maybe there's a kernel of truth in that's being proved out by the UFO thing, in the sense that our brain was not designed to comprehend things that are that much bigger than the human species or that much bigger than our lives. So we've just chosen to be like, yeah, did you see that story in the New York Times?
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Donald Trump, Jeremy Renner has a new album out.
I feel like I feel like all this mystery stuff for me is just a way to say like, yeah, everything is very difficult on Earth. But maybe there's more. Maybe there's more than meets the eye. And if there isn't,
Transformers,
we can all be nice to everybody and everything. But then maybe someday, Fox News will get attacked by aliens.
Right. Oh, for sure. That's happening.
And look, and I don't care if that's 100% true.
So I don't know if that's underrated or I guess I just was like I was just trying to think of a way to
yeah. No, I think that's absolutely
that, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's like sort of
a true thought.
Yeah, the first step towards ending your own suffering, right? Is to just sort of think less of yourself as being like the fucking star of this tragedy. Yeah.
I'm not good at that. I'm not good at doing that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm aspiring to do it.
What's the difference between us and the ants that you step on unwittingly and end that ant's life?
I mean, it's like a shortcut to wisdom because they say like the more you learn, the more you realize how little you know. And this is by accepting the fact that there's all these huge mysteries out there that we know nothing about, that's a shortcut to understanding like your place as a speck in.
Yeah. When the Dalai Lama turns out to be a moron, you got to look to the right. skies. That's my point. When the Dalai Lama
what the
is canceled,
you
look to the skies.
Yeah, I don't even.
Better be a Dalai Mama after or nobody's fucking with her.
I think the Dalai Lama, you know, I was suspicious of him when he was hanging out with Richard Gere.
Right.
Years ago.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true, you know?
I was going to say overrated, but I guess I did them both at once. So then I'll do a myth is that people with cute socks are fun people.
I love that myth.
I think the biggest sociopaths in the world use cute socks as a way to disguise or to try.
Right, you'll like meet a Venus flytrap.
Yeah, you'll meet the most sociopathic hedge fund motherfucker.
Right.
And he'll be wearing the cutest socks you ever saw.
Right.
And I'm just telling you, ladies, I'm wearing white socks right now.
Yeah.
They're not cute.
What brand are those? They say DOC on them.
I will.
Cool. What brand is that?
That's CB GML. That's my cold brew got me like tube socks. So I just want to let you know that I am a nice person with nothing. I have no money or anything because I am a nice person. And, you know, my socks are normal, and it's my way of saying I will treat you right. And if I was wearing socks that had little typewriters on them, or I don't know what people get on their socks, you know, you better watch out for me, because I'm trying to compensate for some evil shit that I got. Also, sometimes I do wear cute socks, and I'm still nice. But it doesn't mean that's the thing.
Where's the line? You know, where's the line?
That's, you don't know. I would say draw the line when the guy you're dealing with the cute socks is a fucking creep.
Is it the color spectrum?
I would say if the guy you're with is a creep,
Uh-huh.
Right. That's where you should draw the line. And don't let his cute socks factor into, well, he's a creep, but he wears those cute socks.
Right. So now it's more like, don't let cute socks, you know, dilute.
I'm just saying, cute socks have been weaponized by bad people.
Interest.
And you know what? I don't care if that's 100% true or not. I fuck with that.
I'm never going to get out of that one. With that
100%. I love that. My favorite. I don't care if it's 100% true.
Totally, that was 100% a real thing I said, too. I had no. That's, yeah. You know what I mean, though. I mean, like, even if it's like, even if it's super far out and I know it's bullshit, I still like to try and stick with it.
Yeah, just try it out.
Just
see
for the fun.
Yeah, for sure. Why not?
All right. We're going to go to a quick break. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
And we're back. And guys, we are flying off the cold brew.
I got cold brew for days.
We are passing a bottle around that Chris brought in with him of cold brew.
99 bottles of cold brew
on the wall.
99 bottles of cold brew. Oh, God, I've lost my mind.
You take one down, you have diarrhea, 98 bottles of cold brew.
How did this become my brand?
Let's talk about the Democratic field real quick, guys. Biden was hurt by his performance in the Democratic debates. Kamala Harris was helped. But it's interesting. Politico was writing about this and the fact that Kamala Harris vaulted to second place overall in the polls.
In Iowa, right? Was that Iowa specifically, or this is a national?
I think it was overall. I think this is a national poll.
Oh, gotcha.
But then they also broke it out by over 45 and under 45. And it's crazy how it's basically diametric opposites. It goes for people over 45, it goes Biden at 29, Harris 17, Warren 13, Sanders 8. And for people under 45, it goes Sanders 21%, Harris 18, Warren 17, and then Biden 13. So, yeah, I just, it makes me wonder how much of Biden or people's fear of Bernie is, you know, pre-Cold War conditioning, where it's just like socialism bad, communism bad.
Well, I think also, too, there's still that, you know, not all Democratic voters aren't super woke, too. And Biden is still kind of like, oh, yes, a like older Christian white man is still in charge. And they like that version of like what the president is.
Right.
And I think seeing
he looks,
you know,
like all the presidents.
Yeah, exactly. And I think just for the same reasons other people sort of like, I think at a certain age, they just aren't willing to say things like out loud. I think like when you look at even how the support goes, if you ask those people like, well, what about Biden's record on these things that for people of color or any people who are just sort of aware of some of the problematic policies that Biden supported, they're like, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Like, so they're not in touch with that as being like a third rail issue, whereas other voters are. And I think that just sort of shows like they're like, that's like a thing that only like people I don't know worry about.
Yeah.
Biden, I think Biden's a safe. I mean, obviously what they're trying to make Biden the candidate.
Right.
But I mean, the wealthy DNC people.
Right.
And he's still the front runner, right?
He's still in front overall, but he was in front by like huge percentages before the debates, and he took a huge hit. It's basically coming down to like more neck and neck. Like he's up 4 percentage points as opposed to like 14, 20
right.
percentage points in polls. And then after those top four, by the way, I was surprised to see the next closest in this poll is Mayor Pete with 4%. So he's fallen off.
Yeah, it depends. Like other polls, he's definitely getting a bigger share also. So it all kind of varies. But I think when you look at just sort of his performance in the debate and how much Twitter engagement there was with him after and like how much Googling of him occurred too.
Right. People that, like, are just finding out about him.
It sounds like he's, there's starting to percolate a little bit over there on that side.
Yeah.
It's so hard to really get your head around that people are going to vote for Donald Trump again. It's like thrown Democrats into, they don't know what to do because, and I don't blame them. I am a Democrat, I guess. If I think the two-party system is designed to ruin everything, really, because there's no such thing as a Democrat or a Republican. There's just people who have usually overlapping views in a bunch of areas, but that because we're all, you know, controlled by the media. Thank you. that we've been effectively divided
Please
in
stop.
Half against, you know, because we don't know anything better. I mean, we can't get out of it anyway. But as far as I don't understand, the Democrats are confused because they're like, we got this guy that's just horrible, and because the economy's doing well, and because people are, or it's not even doing well. That's the thing. It's doing well for Wall Street. It's doing well for.
And even then, a lot of investment banks are like, there's probably a good chance a recession is going to hit
right
at some point.
So Democrats are just in a bad spot, you know. And I think that the best they can hope for is that. I mean, Biden sucks. I mean, I'm sorry, you know, Biden is not the right guy, you know. But he's better than Trump. So it's like.
Right.
Right. That's where we'll see. I mean, we'll see what shakes out in the debates. And I know a lot of it, too, is like you for Trump to really get defeated, they really need to energize like that cross section of women, people of color, and like very progressive voters. And when you can get all of those people together, then you have something a little bit better. Like a lot of people of color were not energized in the last election or motivated to vote.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's interesting to see some of these candidates, like especially with like the support Kamala Harris has from black voters is I think she's only second to Biden. Biden still has a good chunk of support there.
Right. But his lead with black voters has gone from like 20-something percent to like 4%.
Right.
I guess getting the vote out is the most important thing. If we could get more progressives to the polls or just young anybody who with a brain to vote against the old people who are going to vote for Trump because that looks like, as you said, looks more to them. They're like, that's what a president's supposed to look like, a white guy.
Yeah.
And the old people are the ones that vote, and that's why they don't get their benefits fucked with. Like the reason why the old people are all stocked up on Medicare and everything else is because they know they're the ones that go to the damn polls.
Right.
And they'll fuck with everybody else because they know they don't vote.
I mean, that's a line Obama says is, I wouldn't let my grandparents, or I guess you wouldn't let your grandparents pick your music, so why would you let them pick your president?
That's great. Yeah. That's perfect.
But that's why you also see, I mean, we've talked about before, like how much more Gen Z voters are actually engaged, even more than millennials, in terms of like their turnout in the midterms. And so, you know, younger voters,
hold the phone.
Yeah, hold the friggin', hold the cell phone.
I'm older than I even thought. I knew I was old. But
hold that clear telephone you got in the magazine drive. younger voters are definitely coming out in full force and at a bigger, you know, they're a bigger chunk of the electorate by the time 2020 rolls around. So,
yeah,
it'll be interesting.
So what one other way that people are gauging, you know, support for the different Democratic candidates is how much money they raised. And you were saying that one of the kind of big headlines, one of the indicators that looks good for the fifth place candidate, Mayor Pete, is how much money he raised last quarter.
Yeah, $24 million last quarter. That's pretty big.
Yeah.
And I think Obama in 2008 was something around this mark, too.
Right, and there were like five candidates back then. So.
Which is interesting, you know, obviously, because like he's definitely, I mean, Bernie Sanders also put out his numbers on Tuesday, and he said he also has $24 million, but $18 million came from small dollar donations, and then they were transferring another $6 million from other accounts to like this new $24 million amount. So Mayor Pete is fundraising Bernie at the moment. But, you know, I think when you look at sort of where his money's coming from, people from the Bernie campaign were saying that the most common occupation of contributors were, quote, teachers, and the most common employer was Walmart.
Right.
So, and I think, you know, that shows because he's had a lot to say about that, and he's actually connecting with a lot of, like, those more blue-collar voters that I think is also something Elizabeth Warren is trying to tap into as well. But, you know, with Mayor Pete, I think he's playing the high-dollar circuit. He's like, yo, come one, come all. You want to write a fat fucking check, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
You know, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie have a much different model. They don't want to do that because they don't want to feel beholden to any donors. So you can take from that what you will. But really, I mean, at this point, your money is just going to predict how long you can stay in the race.
Right.
You know, like I think some people are like, oh, wow, he raised all this money. This guy's a shoo-in. But like when all that money's starting to be spent in trying to stay in the campaign, you know, it's just the more money you have to burn, the longer you can keep it going. So,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
Is Bernie doing the, who's doing, is he doing individual donations still or is he taking big money?
No, he's doing individual.
Individual.
And so is
him and Warren.
And Elizabeth Warren. Yeah. No PAC money, nothing like that.
We just got to get Trump out of office because it's making everybody so fucking miserable. I mean, anybody with a brain. And it's so hard to have a narrative, to even think straight with him in office. I mean, it's so upside down when you have people saying that he's brought so much corruption, so much naked corruption.
Yeah.
And people are still saying that this guy's doing the best job of any president. You know, you've got some old white people being like, not even just old white people, just misinformed people saying, this is where we want to be. And it's like, it's so disappointing and like confusing that I think it's made the whole country disoriented. And I just want him out of office so people can at least feel like there's a hope for the future, whether it's with even with a corporate fool like Biden. anybody besides Trump. It's just for the sake of everyone's brain to feel like there's a way forward.
Sure.
Like a building, because it's like having a guy in office who patently is corrupt, and having everyone, half the country being like he's doing a great job, is just making everybody feel horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's no, like, we don't know what solid ground is anymore.
Yeah, is there a through line?
Yeah.
I know life is random and everything, but still, having some sort of path to the future makes you got to feel like you're on some kind of, when you're at a spot where you've got a guy who's that corrupt, and everybody's,
it's a weird situation, because we're waking up to the fact that the system at its heart, like, in neutral, the normal version of the system is pretty corrupt. It does not look out for disadvantaged people of color. Like, it just doesn't look out for minorities. And then we're also waking up to that while we have somebody who is way more corrupt than the status quo of the corrupt system in office. And so it is a weird kind of situation to be in, where you're like, no, even the normal status quo isn't good enough, where a lot of people are just going to be like, well, yeah, but it's better than this shit.
And there's still people like getting crushed by capitalism too, and are still trying to figure it out. And you have people like, if you're older and you have a nice little retirement egg to sit on, it's easy to think that this president's doing great, because nothing is really affecting you. You're insulated by your wealth. And then there are people who might not have that insulation with a total lack of wealth, but they've bought the hook, line, and sinker, Koch brothers, whatever far right argument of sort of like, oh, well, you're not being crushed by the system because of rich people. It's because of illegal aliens. So that feeds their xenophobia,
right?
Because they can't make sense of, like, wait, is it the boss of my plant who I should be mad at?
Right.
Or some sort of monolithic threat that I'm just being told to fear.
I just realized I'll say one quick thing, because I'm sure we have to move on. But I just wanted to say, I was thinking the other day, I was talking to my mother. Actually, I was visiting Nashville, and I was talking to my mom, and she's an old woman. She's going to listen to this. She's a young woman. She's a young woman. And anyway, I was talking to her about this, and I was just saying the reason, finally, I realized, why is everybody so mad that people in concrete bunker or in dog cages are going to get a free toothbrush?
Right.
And it's because since the late 80s, or maybe before that, but certainly since when I was a kid in the job market, they took away pensions. They made temp jobs 50-hour-a-week jobs with no benefits. So the reason why, it's not that people don't want, they've managed to make everyone else so poor and so without hope that if they see a baby getting a free toothbrush, it pisses them off, because they're like, I have to pay for my toothbrush.
Right.
But it's not that they're, if we were able to talk about the fact that it's the fact that everyone else has been stripped of everything that makes, because it used to be like, yeah, of course poor people get free shit.
Yeah.
They weren't mad because everyone else had more shit.
Right.
Now everybody's like, I have nothing. Why do they get a free washcloth?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, that's the source of the disconnect, and why people are like, I'm mad at poor people because they get free stuff, and they get they're getting miserable shit. But the thing is that those, you get it.
They're getting the bare minimum. And I think that's why also it's important to have candidates that are connecting people's sort of helplessness and hopelessness and tying that to actually what is happening in the economy and financially. And Joe Biden isn't the kind of candidate who's going to be like, you know why it's like that? Because Wall Street is conducting all the business. There are, like, a lot of our banking regulations are being dictated by people who leave these investment banks and now work in the government and things like that. So the candidates that are able to connect those ills that we experience, I think, are going to do better. Just like, because even when Trump was running, he was kind of running on this fake populist shit where he was like, yeah, man, it's all fucked up.
Right.
I'm going to fix this shit. Actually, I'm going to make it worse. But I think when you have candidates who are actually able to sort of help people connect the dots and to understand what the real problems are in this country, or what the real threats to you are, that's just a little more education that I think the general voting population needs to be in touch with, just for us to have any kind of progress, because I don't think it's going to happen just out of the blue like that.
Right.
People have to really understand, like, what are the forces at work?
Yeah. Last week we were looking at an article that we didn't end up getting to on air, but it was a bunch of Republicans analyzing, like, what they think. It's Republican political strategists who specifically got the last campaign wrong. And they were talking about what they missed about Trump and who has the, you know, best chance at overcoming that. And their takeaway was that it was all personality, basically. It's just like he came off as authentic. If you come off as authentic in the debates, and it just seemed like such bullshit to me. It seemed like it was like just giving, like not giving people enough credit for, you know, the thing that people got excited about was that he basically promised to do like populist shit. And then he also, you know, appealed to their, you know, racist side. But it's not like, I don't think it's purely a personality thing. Like
no,
people were,
because he was telling people, it's like, we can do all, basically sort of saying like, we can do the things that the left does, but we'll brand it as our own version,
right,
that will still treat you with respect. So it's like, Obamacare, fuck that, we'll do a better version.
Right.
And they're like, great. It's like, so then it's like, well, it's not really the fact that it was this government subsidized healthcare that I didn't like. It's that I don't like where it was coming from. So
right.
Now we can have ownership over a program that will help me.
Right.
And I think, yeah, sure. I think it's easy to say it was personality when you don't want to give up the ghost that it's like, yeah, a lot of people are saying a lot of shit has to change very drastically.
Yeah. So, I mean, we were already talking about it, but the border crisis is, you know, constantly in the news, constantly in people's minds.
Yeah.
And Border Patrol is specifically, you know, getting a lot of attention, and not in a very positive way because of the way, you know, the conditions that people are finding these children being treated with. I mean, there was the situation where there was a lice outbreak among children at one holding facility.
Right.
And they were like quibbling over, they got mad at some of the kids for losing one of the lice combs.
Right, and they're like, now you have to use the same comb. It's like, do you understand how lice works?
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so,
use the same lice comb.
It's fucked up. So a couple days ago, ProPublica released a investigation into this secret Facebook group.
Yeah.
Full of current and former Border Patrol agents where they are just vile, fucking racists, just joking about the deaths of immigrants, talking about throwing burritos at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, photoshopping AOC to make it look like she's having sex with Trump and immigrants, and just the worst, like your worst nightmare of what an armed person at a...
Who's dealing with these people
yeah, would be, is like just all over the place in this Facebook group.
Yeah. And they have, I mean, the already people are like, you know, I think a lot of these Border Patrol people, if they really have a conscience, you shouldn't go to work.
Right.
You know, and I think when you look at that Facebook group, you're like, oh, these people, it seems like there is certainly a contingent of people who work in Border Patrol who are getting off on seeing this kind of like just inhumane treatment of people who are seeking asylum. And yeah, like after a few Congress people visited a lot of the detention facilities on Monday, you know, we were hearing more just sort of stories. A woman said she was being told to drink from the toilet. You know, a woman told Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez that, you know, was describing the treatment from these officers as psychological warfare. Like they were just waking them up at odd hours, just saying really fucked up things, saying sexually suggestive things. And there was no support for even like children who only spoke indigenous languages. Like if they didn't speak English or Spanish, like, I don't know what to tell you, kid.
Yeah.
Like, and everything around this is just looking awful and awful and awful. And it's funny how like the right sort of they're done with their, oh, she called them concentration camps outrage, and are now kind of like now trying to sort of, I guess, recontextualize what's going on is like, hey, these guys are just doing their job.
Right.
You know, and that was something we heard on Fox and Friends where the great Brian Kilmeade was just like, I mean,
fuck that guy.
We should think
he wears,
I mean, think
a backpack.
These poor Customs and Border Patrol officers.
Mm. Okay, here's the thing. Picture yourself, you have a house, family of five, you have a party, you have 30 people over, maybe you have a big party, you have 100 people over, and you have 2.5 baths. In the beginning, it'll be okay with 30. Then after 100 people, it'll be a little bit taxed. Maybe you got to get outdoor facility. Can you picture 5,000? You could have the best facilities in the world, but they are so overstocked. 670,000 have come here illegally already. They had 89,000 last month. The month before, 130,000 coming illegally. They have facilities that hold hundreds, not tens of thousands. thousands. And now you're going to walk down there with the facilities that they gave, that they're not pulling out of their pocket, their uniforms you gave them, and say the facilities are not right.
Okay. So it's a house party at these concentration camps.
Right.
It's just like a house party just with like only two bathrooms. You know, we've all been to that bar.
Right.
That's got the one bathroom.
Right.
But they left 300 people in here.
Right.
Also, he said overstocked.
Yeah.
He did. Oh, boy.
He doesn't even know what he's an idiot.
No, 100%.
He's a fucking idiot.
And just like this rhetoric they use, illegally, illegally, illegally. These people are seeking fucking asylum.
Right.
And they're presenting themselves in a way that we're saying, okay, this is how you do it.
Yeah, right. Here's a problem that's actually happening that we have all these people coming for whatever reason. They're coming. They are coming. They are here. They are people.
Right.
So you fucking put all the resources you can to immediately trying to put these people in a safe place.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's as simple as that. We have money in this country. We spend $640 billion a year on our defense.
Right.
Like, this is not, I don't care if the facilities initially are like, oh, you have a 2.5 bedroom. Well, yeah. Okay. First of all, if you have a house with 2.5 baths set up for the people seeking asylum in America, you fucked up, Brian Kilmeade.
Right.
You dumbass.
Well, I think in general, we just don't need to be detaining these people.
Right.
Because a lot of the statistics show us that people who do seek asylum and have to show up for these court hearings do come back. They're not like, hey, you cut them loose and then they're in your lake house.
This is the thing. This is reality. Reality is the few. What do they?
Again, with the overstock imagery, Trump calls it catch and release, which is like a fishing term.
Yeah, sounds disgusting. Yeah.
And yeah, I mean,
it's disgusting.
It's important to keep in mind. Like they don't want to, you know, let the fact in that the Trump administration specifically has said they are doing this on purpose to dissuade more people from coming to the country. Like, they're intentionally treating these children like shit because they want to stop people from coming into the country, and it's not working. More and more people are coming.
And it's like, oh, how come you're not rounding up illegal white immigrants in this country?
Right.
Boom. Weird, because that's also a thing that exists, but that's completely left out of their discourse because these are cruel fucking monsters.
Yeah, what about the idea that just the simple idea that if you're traveling to another country on foot or however they're
on foot,
you know, with a baby and things like that, you're already at a point. You've made a decision that where you're coming from is so bad. The argument should be made by the Democrats that there's no dissuading a person who's desperate. There's no such, that doesn't enter into the fact, that doesn't factor in. You don't dissuade people from, it's like
surviving.
When the global warming happens and people have to move out of the desert that used to be New Jersey or whatever, you're not going to be able to dissuade them from moving out because you make Maryland suck.
Well,
because
like,
I mean, I don't
know. No, but I think
it doesn't make any sense.
Step one to being a conservative is to ignore the actual foreign policy history of this country, and then just treat everything like it's in a vacuum. Don't look at, by any means, of how that entire region of the country was completely destabilized by the United States and their thirst to keep socialist leaders out and things like that. And that was like the soft way to spread American the empire, basically, during the Cold War. It's like, well, let's make sure all these people are in our pocket, too. And we don't care what the cost is to the stability of those countries or their economies and things like that. We'll have them under our thumb, create situations where now people have to flee and then act like, oh, I don't know why the fuck they're coming up here.
Yeah. There's one post that I have to read from the 1015 Facebook group where someone posted the picture that was on the front page of the New York Times of the young father and his, you know, 2-year-old child floating face down. They just drowned. And this person posted that image and said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and ask, have y'all ever seen floaters this clean? I'm not trying to be an ass, but I have never seen floaters like this. Could this be another edited photo? We've all seen the Dems and liberal parties do some pretty sick things. So just to emphasize, they are, first of all, he's just not able to, or they're just not able to let the reality of the situation in.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he is referring to dead children as floaters.
Yeah.
So it's a casual enough, it's a common enough thing that he's calling them floaters while also acting like this picture must be faked because they're too clean.
Well, that would force them to be a little introspective, wouldn't it? Yeah. If you had to sit there and say, oh my God.
You could like write.
I'm looking at a situation where somebody was so desperate to get here, they perished in pursuit of trying to have a better life.
Right.
But I'm going to just go and be like, let me just fucking plug my ears and be like, this is probably in Photoshop or something. Because, right. You know, if I had to really think about that, then, you know, maybe I'm the fucking evildoer.
Well, the only thing I don't understand, and I do understand it because, I mean, apparently the Democrats just recently, like, petitioned the Trump administration to loosen the rules on derivatives. Did you hear about this?
There was the
initiatives that they've been working on lowering property taxes for Democrats. I mean, they're not focusing. This should be the issue, not because it's a political issue, but if you are a humane person, everything should be going toward.
Yeah.
Because years from now, the stories of sexual abuse that are going to come out of those fucking camps is insane. You can't put people, you know, the Stanford prison experiment.
Yeah. Right?
You put people who are like glorified DMV workers in charge of children and the psychology that happens is they start bullying each other into being less and less sensitive. So they say floaters and then someone else, just like in high school, like I'm going to act less sensitive and that's going to make me even cooler than the person who calls them floaters. So I'm going to call them sacks of potatoes or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, there's the thing where when you It's setting up a situation where, I mean, there have already been stories of, that's the thing that concerns me the most, is that they have these unvetted people taking care of children.
Yeah.
And where, it's been proven before that pedophiles don't get a chance to, this is something they will gravitate toward.
Oh,
they will try to get these jobs.
They will build their entire lives
and this is not something I'm making up.
Careers.
Yes. This is a real fact. This is like an opportunity.
Jerry Sandusky had been like doing a children's charity from like the time he was in his 30s. Like he built his whole career and his entire reputation to put himself in a position because that's what predators do. They are like animal predators who have been fully evolved to take advantage of any situation that will allow them to, you know, prey.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just that should be the focus of everything, and I think that the progressives could win the election just based on we are not monsters.
Right.
Well, yeah, and I think this is something we're gonna have to wrestle with our history too.
Yeah.
When we look back at this and like, I mean, just pick any photo recently of what these facilities look like, and you have to grapple with the fact that it's like that's being done on our dime. You know, like that's where like we're part of this, and. What can we do to stop this? Because I know it's so easy to just get very just sort of helpless about the whole thing. But yeah, like you say, I think we really need to confront our neighbors with this idea of like, this is what is being done in the name of this country, like this kind of evil. And I don't know how many people can... You know, I think a lot of people are going to do the comfortable thing and just try and figure out ways to be like, well, you know, it's probably this one thing and oh God, it is bad. But like, no, like we have to fucking really look at this and just be like, this is being done in the name of this country, like many other terrible fucking things. But this thing is on our soil. And then how are we going to answer for that as a society?
And we are powerless. I mean, this is the thing. And this is why people fucking instead, because they're like, how am I going to help these children? And they can't fucking do it. They're like, maybe we should go down there with bolt cutters. Yeah, that's not going to happen. You'll fucking get shot. You cannot. Congress people are having a hard time getting into these camps.
Well, they're funding it.
You know what I mean?
Right. You know,
the only way, unfortunately, and that's why everybody's like, well, I want to take care of the kids, but instead I'm going to get mad at Nike or whatever. It's like, you know, that's misplaced. I get that the instinct is good. Well, if I'm powerless in this area, then I'm going to be powerful in this other area that's ultimately fucking just compensating for the fact that I know I can't free these kids. But the one thing you can do is everyone should be calling every single representative in this country nonstop.
Right.
Saying, make this stop. Make this stop. You will have sexual abuse on your hands. You will have Abu Ghraib times a million on this. You know, that's the reality. And I wish there was a way to go down there with bolt cutters, you know, but there's not. We have been,
yeah.
We'll, you'll get You'll end up in, you know, you can't do, we've set up a military industrial police force. You're not going to get anywhere near those camps.
Right.
But the only way we can, only people we can rely on are people like Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez and people who are actually making noise about it. That's the best thing to do.
Yeah.
And the Republicans coming back with these lame, they sound bad. They sound bad saying,
it sounds
fuck,
awful yeah. to be like, oh, well, it's really yeah. just like this. Like, it's oh, not. What about the people that work there? I'm sorry. Well, it's funny, too, because even in Brian Kilmeade's little fucking dumb take when he's like, oh, and then like you want to show up when like the facilities are so bad. It's like, okay, so then you do acknowledge that the state that these facilities are in are actually unacceptable, right?
Right.
Therefore, then what?
Your administration, which you are a part of the Trump administration, created these conditions. So what is your point?
I mean, look, they need to put all these Customs and Border Patrol people, like, they need to also be accountable. I don't care if they shouldn't just be going after people at the top. Like,
right.
if you're participating in this actively, you need to fucking also be accountable for this.
Yeah.
And then Brian Kilmeade, fucking after he gets done giving his hot take based on nothing, he fucking pulls out his goddamn peanut butter and jelly with the crust cut off out of his backpack and fucking eats it in the corner. And he doesn't have a single friend. I can guarantee you that guy doesn't have a single friend.
Well, not online. I got a lot of people online.
In real life?
No, online.
That guy must have. I'd hate to see his apartment. I bet it's got like a. I bet he has a jukebox with like Godsmack on it in his house. You know what I mean? Like rich people get. He's rich as shit. Right, so I bet he's got a jukebox, and
it's
I bet
made
the
of
shit
marble.
On it's so fucking bad.
Ugh.
I bet he's got like Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy on his jukebox. And he has parties, and nobody shows up. And he eats all the dip by himself.
Brian Kilmeade's jukebox, the most hopeless cultural artifact.
I want to get Brian Kilmeade. I want there to be a reality show, Brian Kilmeade's apartment.
Yeah. All right. We're gonna,
his palace.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zai Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
And we're back, and
booyah!
Booyah, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to switch gears.
That was a cold brew booyah.
Oh.
To Jeremy Renner. We talked last week about a clip he teased that had everybody just anticipating, just drenching our bench for his eventual release of his first original song.
Drenching our bench?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah.
I've never heard that original.
Before. Yeah.
But let's hear the I guess it's a teaser trailer for the song.
What's the song called again?
I think it's called "Is Unpredictable." I gotta tell you, Shannon,
Heaven don't have
don't
a name.
Got a name?
Have, okay, sure.
What is it? A rap song?
Well, no. Just listen. So, Chris, you know you're a musician. You know, and let's just listen to the vocals.
Yeah, is this own, is this part of the Spider-Man soundtrack or something? Or is there some reason for it?
No.
This is a rich guy with free time.
Uh huh.
Okay.
So unpredictable. I gotta tell you, never be the same. Shannon don't have a name.
What?
So unpredictable, I gotta tell you.
What was the last thing he said, though?
Shannon don't
got a name. Heaven don't got a name.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Nailed it.
It does, too.
I mean, it's unpredictable, I gotta tell you.
Wait a minute. I don't understand.
Can you just play that again one more time?
Play that again.
So unpredictable, I gotta tell you, never be the same. Shannon don't have a name.
It's so unpredictable, I gotta tell you, it'll never be the same because heaven don't got a name.
First of all, I thought he said gender don't have a name.
Yeah, that's my sister's name.
But you can't say something that doesn't have a name right after you say the name of it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like also, that feeling of seeing someone fail and you love it. That doesn't have a name,
okay.
Schadenfreude.
So now, are you now? Here's what I think. Now, this is something that somebody else captured of him singing in the shower with a drone with a microphone.
No,
on it.
Nope.
So someone took a drone. Here's what I think happened. Someone took a drone and flew it outside Jeremy Renner's shower.
Okay,
with a big microphone on it. And caught that little snippet of him soaping himself up.
This is in studio, self-released, and I
don't care if it's 100% true. But based on the video I saw, it looks at least 98% true.
Oh my god!
This is a video he approved.
Okay.
And then once it goes into the Imagine Dragons shit, it starts like showing all these like blinking colors, and then it's just like a glamour shot of him like looking off into the distance.
Okay,
in a
classic
car.
Cry for help. This is like he's gonna be in rehab in like.
It's like what happens
five
when
minutes.
You're rich and you have a hobby, you have free time. You just act it out all the way out, and
right.
You're like he's probably wanted to be a rock star his whole life, acting. You know, is probably the biggest tragedy in his life that his acting career took off rather than him being a musician. And I was like, well, now I got all this money to do my unpredictable, I gotta tell you.
Yeah. Okay. That's shower singing.
Okay. Well, how about this? Why don't we
and
listen
it sounds
to
like
finished...
it was recorded in
so,
a shower.
So wait, by the way, he tweeted that video with the words, I think like coming soon.
Yeah.
Prepare
your neck.
I sing that kind of stuff exactly like that in the shower.
Do
like
you?
That exact thing. Yeah. Like, oh yeah. You know, like,
right.
You know, I was scrubbing up, I'll be scrubbing up.
I'll be scrubbing up, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, I mean, that's like...
Well, okay, listen
Mr. Conditioner. Mr. Conditioner coming down the pike. All right. You know what I mean? Like, what, same shit?
I love that song.
When it's dripping down your back?
Dripping down my back. Mr. Conditioner.
Going down my crack.
Mr. Conditioner doesn't have a name.
Conditioner. Let's play the original. Let's play the finished product, release
since
track.
Since we last spoke about this, because when we last spoke about it, we had only heard what we just heard, which is the teaser. He has released. He has released the song.
I love how songs have teasers now.
Well, yeah. Jeremy Renner songs.
Welcome to the Spotify
trailer for the world's worst song.
And we now have his first original song, because he had already released a couple covers.
Yeah.
That are just unspeakable.
House of the Rising Sun.
House of the Rising
Sun. Every person who auditions for The Voice. Idea.
Right. And
by Crash Test Dummies.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
He covered that.
So he's having
that.
A full-on breakdown.
Why? You don't like that song?
Well, no. Is that Jeremy Renner's covering that?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got some kind of... He's got a brain tumor.
He lives in a weird space. Like, he sends Christmas cards out every year, like, to members of the Hollywood Foreign Press. And my mom has one of his, like, Christmas cards. It's always him by himself. And
yeah.
It has nothing to do with Christmas. It just looks like a guy who is like, hey, it's me. It's December. Here's a card.
I feel bad for celebrities sometimes.
Well, okay, let's not judge.
He probably lives in a volcano.
Let's not judge a teaser by its sound. Let's judge a track by its final mix and master.
Okay.
All I remember, she grew up in Atlanta, but she moved to the Bay. An uptown beauty you can never escape.
Who'd you get to write?
Heaven don't have a name.
Let's hear that line again.
She keeps it old school. Feels like rock and roll, but got that new groove. So unpredictable, I gotta tell you.
Ooh.
Be the same.
Damn, all right, turn it off. I can already see a fucking Dodge fucking truck going over a hill of dirt. What? The lyrics are so weird. Like, something from Georgia, but she's from the Bay and fucking heaven don't have a name.
It starts out with him saying, the only thing I remember is she, like, is from the Bay but grew up in Atlanta.
It's yeah.
Like, that's the only thing you remember?
But I didn't realize he was going to hit that falsetto. So unpredictable, I gotta tell you.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, he didn't even use the track that made it into the song for the teaser. Because he knew you were going to be expecting
exactly.
The,
yeah. Unless that's part of the pre-chorus, and that's just what we get like in the second time the chorus comes around, because he's really trying to build for a nice release into the chorus.
That song sounds like...
If I'm producing, you know.
That song sounds like cocaine.
Right.
That's cocaine all by yourself with some dude that is producing.
Yeah.
Like you're hanging out with this dude.
Who doesn't know the word no.
Yeah. You met him at the Sky Bars. I don't know. What's the current?
No, the Mondrian Sky Bar.
Yeah,
you still
yeah.
Meet
he met some guy who's
there.
Like, yeah. And he was like.
Yeah, dude.
He's like, I can produce your shit. What do you got?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What do you got, man?
Yeah. And he's like, well, I got this thing. She's uptown from the
Bay.
From
the fucking Bay.
Heaven don't have it. That's fucking incredible.
Oh,
I can put so many sound effects on that thing with my laptop. I'm going to come over.
Hey man, is your car here? Should we fucking Uber there? I don't know, man. I have a fucking hard drive full of sounds I can bring over, man.
That's like fucking, you know, people like Jeremy Renner end up living in houses with no furniture and just like cocaine. And that's how what happens to.
He is a house flipper, as we talked about. He bragged about how he's like one of America's great house flippers and makes like millions off of it.
Woo.
This Hollywood Reporter interview is really goes to what you're kind of speaks to what you're talking about. He talks about being a pacifist and how he's never been in a fight at the beginning of the interview. And then by the end, he tells this anecdote, and I quote, "This guy chokes me with the scarf I was wearing. He called me a fag because I was wearing a scarf. Then he shoved my sister and I got behind him and I choked him out, put him to sleep."
Permanently.
What?
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
I'm a pacifist, dude.
Those are better lyrics than the song.
Yeah.
Right.
He should have said all that in a song.
Probably just
then
wait.
I choked him out.
Permanently.
I took a scarf. This man stepped to me at the Mondrian. I was wearing a scarf.
Yeah. So.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, look, Jeremy Renner, man.
Countdown to rehab.
Get
Five,
ready.
Four, three.
He strikes me as someone who fucking... is just off the realness of his life, just flying.
Like I feel like that too. I don't think he's. I don't think this is a drug thing. I think he has always like
it's his ego.
Yeah, that's it's all. Just he's on that Scientology shit. But his
he's a Scientologist.
No, he's not.
But he's got that like he's tapped into a whole other power source that we need to study. Actually, science needs to figure out what it is. It could just be called the confidence of a white millionaire. But if you could turn that into a pill.
Super producer Anna Hosnier.
Cold brew has a similar effect.
You got it. You got it. Nailed it.
That's really weird. It's like he's one of those guys that watched his own movie and like saw like people look. They think they're the person in the movie. Like he thinks he's the person in the
movie.
He's
Hawkeye.
He's like, look at that movie. I played a genius, so I'm a genius. Like that's what. Man,
he's like, man, you want to see me fucking shoot this fucking arrow, dude, from fucking 200 meters? Dude?
Yeah.
Man, fucking stand there, dude. I'll fucking shoot the whole fucking thing right now, dude.
You try and choke me with a scarf? Don't you remember when I shot that arrow? you didn't shoot.
All right, never mind, Hawkeye.
Yeah, actors are so strange because he's so terrifying and like in a completely different way in The Town. It's just.
I don't even know what movies he's been in. Sicario?
Doesn't matter. Nah. Yeah.
Is he?
Solo, Sicario, fucking Game of Thrones. What isn't he in, man?
Come on. He's not in Game of Thrones. Come on.
No. All right,
real
He's
briefly.
Also not in Solo,
he was in
for
the
record.
Games.
You know
is he
that,
in the
right?
Hunger Games?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fine. Doesn't matter if it's 100% true.
He played Lando, right?
I really don't know. I saw him in one movie where those huge yams came down from outer space and they talked to the squids.
Arrival?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And he played the least convincing scientist of all time.
Where he said to stare at a fucking squid for
dude,
fucking
those fucking
2 hours.
Huge yams talking to the squids.
That movie, man. Talk about like
talk about yam
that
squids.
Seems important at the time, and then you leave, and then you're like never think about it again.
Yeah, I think the coolest thing was just like the beginning. But I'll watch it again.
I don't even remember it anymore. But I just know that they were like. Well, the movie, white people staring at squids for.
I'll tell you, man, the whole movie is unpredictable. I got to tell you.
That's going to be going on. That has been and will keep going on in the offices of the Zeitgeist. Real quick, LA Times created a spicy snack power ranking list of prepackaged spicy snacks. I don't know, man. So it's on a matrix.
Mm-hmm.
So you got your. Worst flavor to better flavor on one axis, the x-axis, and then the y-axis is more heat to less heat.
Mm-hmm.
Flaming Hot Cheetos Puffs are the best tasting, hottest snack.
Yeah, but Flaming Hot Doritos is the hottest, apparently, by a little bit.
Is it?
Yeah, look where it's plotted in terms
of
heat.
Oh, right.
Or taste.
Wait, where are you looking, man?
Flamin' Hot Doritos.
Oh, that's the best.
They have the
tasting.
Best taste, but in that more heat and taste area, definitely has better flavor. I don't care because it's all about Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
I can't see the chart.
It's just weird.
I don't
want
to see it.
Okay, sorry.
No.
Oh, yo! Shout out to Zaps Crawtaters. Have you had those?
Zaps Crawtaters.
Oh man, the fucking I remember the like we had an exchange thing with like kids from Louisiana at my high school, and they brought Zaps Crawtaters, and I was fucking hooked. The
Zaps
flavor,
spicy Cajun Crawtaters,
not spicy at all, but the flavor, my lord.
So are these like shrimp chips?
No, it's like the flavor of like you know a low country boil, basically, but in a chip, delicious.
So that's like crawdaddy potato chips.
Yes.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, that's a thing, like seafood-flavored crisps and, like, other, like, crackers.
Yeah, yeah.
Is a big thing in, like, Korean
Yeah, you have, like, shrimp
stores.
Chips and shit
shrimp
like that.
Chips,
delicious.
Yeah. Mm.
But, yeah, like, I didn't even know they were Flamin' Hot Fritos. I don't think those need to be Flamin' Hot.
I don't eat that
Just
stuff.
Chili cheese.
I don't eat any of that stuff.
Flamin' Hot Fritos is in the worst possible. They are low heat and worse flavor.
The absolute worst seems to be Trader Joe's ghost pepper potato chips.
Yeah.
Also, Andy Capp's hot fries. Woo.
Yeah, those they have that in the worst flavor part.
I don't know. I like Andy Capp's.
Those are addictive in a way that I can tell that they have figured something out because I don't like actively, consciously like the taste, but I can't stop eating them.
It's called MSG.
Like, right. It's like food scientists have just like, directly wired into some part of my brain.
It's called MSG.
Scientists.
Yeah. That, you know, food scientists, that's where...
That's where the money's at, man.
Instead of, you know, curing our diseases, that's where our best scientists are working right now.
I eat kettle corn.
There you go.
Yeah. Attaboy.
Kettle corn. Seafood flavored.
Seafood flavored kettle corn.
I eat that low country boil kettle corn.
A low country boil in that pot, and then in that pot, you make your kettle corn. Mm-hmm. Get all the residual.
Yeah. Chris Flaming Crofton. Hot kettle corn.
Mm-hmm. Chris, it's been a pleasure.
It's been so much fun to be back on.
Where can people find you?
You can find me at The Crofton Show on Twitter, and you can find me at Instagram, You can find me on Instagram, Chris_Crofton.
Oh.
The underscore is something I came up with. And that's about it. You can find me on, and you can read my advice column, The Advice King, which there's like 200 of them. If you want to laugh all day long, you go read those.
Fuck yeah. Those are great. Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, I forgot about that. So, no.
No, take your time.
I bet I got one. Because I retweeted. You guys have her on the show, Blair Psaki.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The last thing I retweeted was, when someone punctuates their texts with periods, it's like, why are you enraged?
Miles, where can people find you?
Follow me, find me Twitter, Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also, shout out to the women's national team who is on their way possibly to going to the final. I don't know. Right now it's 2-1.
2-1.
Following it closely. Wow. But there are some Arsenal ladies playing on the England side, so I'm also rooting for them. But, you know, America first.
Wait, there's ladies Arsenal?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
We the best. We the best in Europe.
We the
unlike
best.
Unlike the men's team.
Music.
You find me, follow that, or said that. Okay, some tweets I like. There's just some reductress ones that I'm loving all over again. This one is just, it's so stupid, but Chris, you might appreciate this one. Mm. It just says, is he falling in love with you, or do you just own a rare synthesizer? All my gearheads are like, she's got that Korg.
Oh, here's one other one I liked. I know this sounds like BS, a BS statistic, but apparently in the U.S. alone, there are enough comedians for every single citizen of the U.S. to have their own private comedian. That's Henry Phillips.
That's really funny.
It's funny because it's true.
The other one is just so stupid because it's just this woman sort of smirking at the camera, and the headline is just, allow me to set you up with some guy. I don't even know why it's like some guy.
Some tweets I enjoyed. Ben Schwartz at Rejected Jokes tweeted, huge day for people who Photoshop different teams' jerseys on players back on the first day of free agency, because that was all that was being posted. Kellen at Captain Calvis tweeted, I just took a DNA test. Turns out I'm 100% sure the CIA killed JFK. And Megan Amran tweeted, whoever denied it, supplied it, also works with climate change.
Oh, and I saw that. That's a good one.
Yeah. Mike Leffingwell tweeted, my favorite part of The Rock is when Ed Harris visits his wife's grave and her headstone says his wife, which is real.
That's just Bechdel cast lore, though. If you listen to my episode on The Rock on Bechdel cast, we go off on that part.
Oh, for real?
So, you know, shout out to my old improv teacher, Mike Leffingwell, but he's late.
That's how women define themselves, right?
His wife!
And then finally, another Kellen at Captain Kelvis tweet. I like Toy Story 4, but thought the scene where Woody bends over and slaps his bare ass and says, I'm a shitty little pig boy, was a little much, which I agree. That was the only part that I didn't love. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what is that? Don't be today.
It's called Before by Bibio.
Okay.
So put this in your pipe and go outside and enjoy the weather wherever you are, and just, you know, listen to the relaxing sounds.
You know? Hot.
Thank you guys so much for having me again.
Oh, thanks for being here, man.
So fun.
Yeah, go listen to Chris Crofton's album.
Go listen to my record.
The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for today. And we won't be back tomorrow because, even though it is a daily podcast, tomorrow is the 4th of July, so... We are going to be back on Friday with a little bonus treat for you guys. And then we'll be back on Monday. Have a great holiday weekend, or just long daily zeitgeist weekend for listeners in other countries. And we'll be back at you next week. Bye.
This is fun.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie.
Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.